Well, church, this is as weird for me as it is for you, and what a difference a week makes. I'm here at home in my dressing gown, as I'm sure many of you are. No, I'm not really in my dressing gown. I just thought that'd be funny. What a difference a week makes. Church gatherings banned across the country out of fear of spreading the coronavirus. And I'm always tempted in moments like this just to throw the regular teaching program out the window and give a Christian response to coronavirus. And look, if the passage had been a really awkward one in light of the current situation, we might have just done that. If we'd been doing something like Hebrews 9:25, which says, "Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more as the day draws near," we might have just canned the talk. Actually, no, we would have done that passage, because the very verse before says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." And love and good works at the moment is doing this. It's practicing social distancing and obedience to our government. And the goodness of just hearing from God on our planned passage is that God can surprise us. And we don't go to what we think we need to hear in this moment, but to what the sovereign God has prepared for us in his word. And many of you know I'm a missionary with Griffith Christian Students just up at the uni there. And for our last meeting this week, we were in Mark 7, where Jesus' disciples get in trouble for not sort of washing their hands. And our students thought that was great, that we just happened to be up to that passage. So today we're sticking with that plan and hearing from God in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. And we've been working through the book of Romans. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul, an early follower of Jesus. And Paul was sent by Jesus to take the gospel to the world. And he's writing to this church in Rome. So I'll read a section of this letter from Paul for us now that we're going to be studying. So if you haven't got a Bible, find one. I'm in Romans chapter 5 and starting at verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This is a wonderful Bible passage, but not the easiest to follow online when you're tempted to be doing the washing up or finishing breakfast whilst listening. It's pretty dense, right? There's a lot there, so if you've got your cup of tea, make sure you've got a Bible in the other hand. Now, here's why that passage, which sort of just all flows together, is hard to follow. And the reason is Paul gets sidetracked. He begins verse 12, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man." And he's talking there about Adam's sin in Genesis 3. We'll come back to that. But if you start with "just as," then you're waiting for the comparison, the "so also." Just as a can of Coke is a solid, just as Coke is a cola drink, So also Pepsi is a cola drink. So once you start the just as, you're waiting for the so also. Well, Paul introduces this idea that sin and death enter our world through one man, Adam. And he intends to finish the thought, so also righteousness and life come through one man, namely Jesus. But Paul's kind of like people who never finish their... He gets distracted with some background and clarifications before he gets to his... It takes until verse 18 for him to finally complete the thought. And he says there, he has to repeat the just as again. Verse 18 of Romans 5, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. And Romans 5, 12 to 21 is all about that comparison. Team Adam versus Team Jesus. And we'll think about this some more. But more than just comparing the two and making sure you're on Team Jesus, Paul wants us to see how unfathomable is God's generosity to us. This is a passage comparing Team Adam and Team Jesus so that we will see God's grace. Indeed, 7 or 8 times in this passage, if you're at church, I'd get you to call out how many times you found it. But 7 or 8 times in this passage, we are told about grace, or the two words in the original language that are related to it and are translated as gift. Verse 15, the gift, God's grace, the gift that came by the grace. It's there in verse 17, God's abundant provision of grace. Verse 20, grace increased all the more. Verse 21, so that grace might reign. And against the darkness of our sin and the hopelessness of our plight, as we realize just how undeserving we are of God's love, then we're ready to see just how amazing his grace is to us through the gift of Jesus. So as we work through, remember, the big comparison, the team captained by Adam versus the team captained by Jesus, the whole purpose is so that we'll stand back and go, wow, isn't God's grace amazing? So let's get into it. My first point, if you had your outline, this is what it would say. Team Adam, where death wins, verses 12 to 14. Team Adam, where death wins. So look again at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It begins, therefore. Okay, we've got to stop there. Just one word in and ask, what's the therefore? Therefore. It's there because this passage is connected to last week. We saw that Christians have confidence because our hope is based on the work of Jesus. And this comparing of Jesus and Adam really explains that work of Jesus that gives us hope. And so these first verses, 12 to 14, before we get to the Team Jesus stuff, this looks at Team Adam. So verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. This verse retells the downfall of humanity. Although he's not named, this is about Adam, whose name means man anyway. That's why it's always a bit awkward translating the start of Genesis, because the word Adam just means man. And this is really the story of Genesis 2 and 3. Remember that, where God gives the man and woman everything in the garden, but they get told, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And that's what happens. Adam and Eve eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and death enters the world. They're not struck down immediately. Part of God's kindness is that he clothes them and allows them to continue life outside the garden. But the kind of, if you imagine there's a countdown timer here, the countdown timer on their lives has begun. Death has entered into the world. And that act of rebellion kind of unplugged humanity from God, who is the source of life. This is like taking your mobile phone out of the charger. It doesn't run out of battery immediately, but the slow drain of battery life has begun. Now, we are in a terrible moment. Daily updates on how many people are infected with COVID-19. The death toll is rising. It's a bit macabre how we, track these things. And It's a terrible reminder of the fragility of life. But it's just a reminder. Life has always been fragile, and death awaits us all. It's what's been the case since the rebellion of Adam. We see here that death is not neutral, just kind of the way it is, nor is it natural, just part of life. Death has entered the world because of the sin of Adam. It is the judgment of God for human rebellion. So yes, death is physical, we do return to dust, but it's spiritual also, the judgment of God. Adam has released a virus that has infected all people ever since. That's why Paul says, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. The cycle of death begins. That phrase there, because all sinned, is not saying we only die because of our sins today, that we start innocent and are then corrupted. No, somehow we were in Adam. When he sinned, we sinned. We are in Team Adam. He is our captain. And indeed, this is what diverts Paul's train of thought. Because we all sinned in Adam, death has now come to all. So explains verse 13, death rules since that moment. Verse 14, from Adam to Moses, death rules. And then verse 14, once Moses is given the law, death still rules. Because even with clear guidance on how to obey God, people still sin. Except now they're even more culpable, they're transgressing the law. So whether you transgress the law or rebelled against God without commands, all sinned, thus all died. Sin is sin, and so God judges and condemns. And the end of verse 14, Paul goes, now where was I? Oh, no, that's right. I was talking about how Adam is like Jesus. And so verse 14, he concludes, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. Adam is a type. It's that comparison language. So how are Adam and Jesus similar? Okay, Paul, you're finally getting there. But no, he gets sidetracked again. So point two, Team Jesus, not really comparable to Team Adam at all. Verse 15 to 17, Team Jesus, not really comparable to Team Adam at all. Paul says Team Adam and Team Jesus are so different, you shouldn't even really compare them. Look at me, verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Adam's action was one of self-serving disobedience. Jesus' actions is of self-sacrificing generosity. You can't compare his disobedience to how generous Jesus' acts are. Paul continues verse 16, nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brings condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. He says one man sinned and that led to death, and then everyone kept sinning, which you would expect to lead to more death, but somehow it's led to life. And so not only is life now possible, verse 17, in Team Adam death rules, now those in Team Jesus rule with him. This teaching here about how Adam sinned as our representative is what's known as original sin. And to Westerners, this is particularly disturbing to us because we like to think of ourselves as individuals first and really only as individuals. How can I bear the guilt of another? Surely that was Adam's choice, not mine. Now, this is a Western way of thinking. Anyone from an Asian family or background knows, well, my choice doesn't really count. It's what does the family need? But Westerners, we really struggle with this idea. It was seen, just to give you an example, it was seen in our horrible delay in apologising to Aboriginal people in the Stolen Generation. It's true, you or I did not do that immoral action of removing Aboriginal children from their families. But we do bear the guilt. We can't be happy to receive the blessings of the British conquering these lands without at least acknowledging, if not giving recompense for what they did, our forebears. Now, the Bible doesn't deny that individually we are responsible as sinners, but it also teaches a reality of corporate responsibility of sin. Adam is our representative. See, sometimes the captain makes the choice and the team has to follow. But it's not just that we follow the captain's choice. The fact that we continue to sin is evidence that Adam wasn't just our captain, but truly our representative. And were it you or I, we would have sinned as well. We don't just bear the marks of his sin, but make our own scars. We know the reality, our hearts are turned inward. Sin has run amok. It's not just Adam who sinned. Just look what's happening at our grocery stores. And how many of us then jumped on and thought, well, I'll just get a bit extra too, just in case. And if we didn't do that, we looked down our noses in pride at others. See, Westerners, we cry, how is this fair to bear the sin of Adam? But I want to offer you a warning, if that's you. Be careful of accusing God of being unjust. Because how will he treat you who have continued to sin? No, we don't want a God who is only just. We need a God who is merciful, gracious and kind. I don't know about you, but I want God to deal with me with grace, not justly. And we don't want to argue against the actions of another acting on our behalf, because as Paul's about to say next, that's exactly how we are saved. And so in verse 18, he finally gets back to his initial comparison between Team Adam and Team Jesus that he began in verse 12. So this is my third and final point, Team Jesus, where grace wins, verses 18 to 21. Team Jesus, where grace wins. Now look at verse 18. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The one for the many. The one man's sin leads the many to death. The one man's righteous act, that is Jesus' obedience and death in our place as the only perfect righteous man, that one man's righteous act leads many to life. Adam brings death, Jesus brings life. Jesus is our representative. He goes to the cross in our place. He dies the death that we deserve. Jesus also is representative man. It is through his obedience and his righteous act that a new group is created. Jesus' life and death and resurrection is the key moment in all of human history, when a new humanity is recreated, a new righteous man who obeys God and brings life. The coronavirus feels like one of those moments that's going to divide history. There's going to be pre-COVID-19 and after COVID-19. Someone posted a throwback Thursday photo to Facebook of an aisle full of toilet paper. Remember the good old days when you could buy toilet paper, the days before and after the virus. I remember the days when someone would cough in public and you didn't look at them like they'd just given you the plague. And there are moments in history which we remember. Most of my students I serve at Griffith University weren't born when 9/11 happened. But I remember life before and after. That was a key moment in human history. An older generation, older than me, will remember life before the sexual revolution. It was a different world. There are moments in history which provide a clear before and after, but there is no other moment like this, when Jesus comes It's fitting to divide our calendar in this way, before Christ and in the year of our Lord. Because in his obedience to the cross as representative human, we see the creation of two humanities, one under the headship of Adam and a new one under the headship of Christ. And every single person is either in Adam or in Jesus. Now we can sort people into all sorts of categories, men and women, and Pepsi and Coke, or extrovert or introvert, but the key division of all humankind is this. Are you in team Adam or in team Jesus? Two humanities, two representatives standing as captain of each team. By nature, we are in team Adam, facing judgment and death. But by grace, we can be in team Jesus, receiving forgiveness and eternal life. Now, I must address one thing that comes up in this discussion, which is, if Adam condemns everyone, doesn't Jesus save everyone? And there's a couple of verses in this passage which seems to at least allow for that possibility. But that's not the point of this passage. It's not to say that everyone is saved, because they aren't. The point is to say, like Adam was representative and brings death, Jesus is representative and brings life. It's a nice thought that everyone is saved, but it's not what this passage and all the Bible teaches. It's known as universalism, that everyone is saved, but it goes against the entire teaching of the Bible, of Romans, and even this passage. Even if you look at verse 17, it is those who receive God's abundant provision of grace. This grace of God must be received by faith. It appeals to our emotion. I wish everyone was saved. I wish I could say it. But it's not true. It's cold comfort. It's promising people something that God never does. No, the gift is given to those who receive it, who rely and trust in Jesus, that enter from Team Adam to Team Jesus. And so that is the first and foremost important question for us. Whose side am I on? There is no neutral in the middle here. You are either on Team Adam, or you have entered into Team Jesus by trusting in his death for the forgiveness of your sins. Coronavirus seems a bad way to die. And I've seen some bad ways to die. Cancer, a few friends that have passed away from cancer. What a terrible way to die. But the worst way to die is not about the method of your death, but whether you die still under Adam instead of forgiven under Christ. But I mentioned at the beginning, Paul's purpose here is not just to compare Team Adam and Team Jesus, but by looking at them both, to marvel at God's grace. And that's why he concludes this way, verse 20. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we see how deserving we are of death, when we see the accumulated sins of humanity piled up, and when we reflect on the darkness of our own hearts, it makes the grace of there being a Team Jesus at all even more beautiful. You see, the darker it gets for us, the more we reflect on life under Adam, the more beautiful God's grace appears. I love looking at Brisbane City. Whenever friends visit from Sydney or around the country, I always take them up Mount Gravatt Lookout just to see the city. You see a bit of a glimpse of South Bank from up there. And it just looks great in the day. It looks really a beautiful picture. It's a postcard. But when you see the light of the city against the darkness of night, Well, it's spectacular. Against the darkness, the light shines even brighter. God's love for us seems even more unfathomable the more we consider how dark is life under Adam. As you reflect on even your heart this week, what unkind words did you say? How was your greed expressed when you shopped? What sexual sins did you commit in your mind? How were you selfish? Or if they don't resonate, how is your pride judging those who choose to shop in a way different to you? See, as the darkness of our sins and all the sins of humanity add up, we go, how could that end in God's kindness, a free gift? See, against the darkness, the light shines even brighter. Sin to death makes sense. Accumulating more sins leading to a free gift, well, that's just incomprehensible. It's no wonder that the word grace, which means undeserved kindness, a gift, it just doesn't suffice for most Christians. Every time we hear that word grace, and this is because of that classic hymn, we want to put a word in front of it, don't we? It's not just grace, but amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. Amen.